You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Ayr, Leicester, Carlisle, Windsor and Sligo. On Monday it will be Dave Kellner, John Babb and Ross Briley in the studio from 1:50pm to guide you through all of the action as it happens on Monday afternoon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast, I'm very delighted to welcome Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Sam. Naps have been a bit unlucky, but racing's been good over the past few days.
Yes, it certainly has. And we saw very good action on Saturday from Ireland in particular, John. There was good action domestically, but of course all the main focus and the headlines will be on the Irish 2000 Guineas, which was won by Ortard, who quickened away nicely to beat Galileo Gold and Blue de Vega. It was a nice win by Kevin Prendergast Charge.
Yeah, it was a great win, wasn't it? And apparently he received a tremendous ovation in the winner's enclosure. Ortard won well, let's make that perfectly clear. And Kevin Prendergast himself said that he'd always considered the horse to be of a pretty high standard since it had first arrived. Last year it was very big, apparently, and needed quite a lot of work, but certainly won extremely well and has entries in both derbies, although at the moment I think connections are not certain whether it's going to go to, certainly to Epsom. A good win. Kevin Prendergast, of course, is a name fairly close to the old heart because he, Sam, has supplied over the years a large number of useful jumpers for the Richards family at Greystoke. Gordon Richards was a great friend of Kevin Prendergast, and Nicky continues to get useful horses from the same depot. So, interesting that he should finally have an Irish 2000 Guineas winner, his first since, I think, 1976 or thereabouts.
Wow.
So some time. What about Galileo Gold?
He hasn't done the English Guineas form any harm with that second.
No. Obviously, Frankie was looking for a gap at a crucial moment, but generously said that, it wasn't by any means an unlucky defeat, that the winner deserved to win on the day, that he was definitely Ortada, the best horse. But I think Galileo Gold didn't have a particularly happy passage at a crucial moment, and the winner definitely got first run.
Yes, certainly did. Was there anything else particular that caught your eye from the Curragh or be it Haydock on Saturday before we get on to some things that certainly will have caught your eye at Carlisle on Friday, John?
Yes, well, in Ireland, there was a slightly expensive loss. I wanted Irish Rookie to win the Group 2 fillies and mares race. And the word was that although Martin Mead had just a little bit of a problem with some of his horses at Newmarket, and there was a rumour that Irish Rookie herself had actually bled slightly after running well at Newmarket when finishing a close fourth. That race, though, was over 10 furlongs. She was coming back to a mile. She was reputed to have gone really well, and I hoped Irish Rookie was going to win. They made her pretty well backed co-favourite with Lucida. And coming inside the last furlong, I was convinced she'd win. But sadly, the long-time leader just held on a little bit too strongly, and Irish Rookie finished second. She's becoming a bit of a second-itis. Over at home at Haydock, again, it was a filly who just got beat, Mecca's Angel in the Temple.
Yes.
I didn't see the race because I was actually on my way to Leeds, but I've listened to one or two remarks by connections and also read, obviously, the reports of the race. She was carried really quite a long way across the course by the winner, wasn't she?
Mm.
And they took, I think, about a quarter of an hour, the stewards, to, you know, leave the race untouched.
It was a lengthy one, yeah.
Very generously, all the connections of Mecca's Angel, David Metcalf, the owner, Michael Dodds, the trainer, and Paul Mulrennan, the jockey, you know, they felt that the horse had not been seriously interfered with, and they were quite happy with the eventual result. But I thought Mecca's Angel ran pretty well. She was a little bit fresh. She got a little bit unruly at the start, but she wasn't beaten far, obviously. And I would think, providing the ground has got a bit of cut in it, she'll have a decent chance of reversing form with Profitable at Royal Ascot.
Okay, yeah, only beaten a neck, as you say there, in the Temple Stakes at Haydock. It's Carlisle on Monday night, John, but unfortunately we haven't been given any Carlisle races to preview, which is a great disappointment, given that we've got Mr. Carlisle in the studio. But fortunately you were there on Friday, and you might be able to give the listeners some insight from the things that you saw on Friday night.
Yeah, so, well, I was there on Friday night. The most impressive factor about the racing at Carlisle on Friday was the return to form of Carl Burke's horses. He had a good double. Wholesome won well the second leg of the double. Never looked like being beat. Ridden by Dougie Costello. Great to see Dougie Costello getting some winners on the flat. Mm. He's, you know, now riding just on the flat, not mixing it with jumping. So that was a good win. But the impressive victory was the first one. It was Tahu. Now, this horse was very well backed. It was something like 15 to 2 in the early prices in the morning, Sam. And the money was down on the track. It went off at 3 to 1 favourite, Tahu. And it really did win extremely impressively. On the bit all the way, just a hands and heels job, and went clear inside the last furlong. And the interesting thing about Tahu is it is owned by John Dance, who's had a lot of decent horses with Anne Duffield, and still has decent horses with Anne Duffield. But this was the first horse that John Dance had with Carl Burke, and it was certainly well supported in the ring, looked very well, ran extremely well. Well, and I would think we'll go in again fairly soon, Tahu. You know, the Burke horses looked tremendously well. Wholesome looked really well in the paddock, quite definitely the pick of. And just thinking about John Dance, Carl was saying that he has a colt by Frankel with him. So that's a bit of interest. The sad thing at Carlisle was Sammy Joe Bell. They just showed how dangerous the game is,
yeah.
Sam. You know, I was standing at the top end of the paddock where the horses come out on the way to the course. There's a walkway to the track, not very long, about 100 yards. And I was minding my own business, thinking, you know, this was a tricky sort of race. And I saw Sammy Joe Bell passing me on a horse called Royal Duchess, a mare who has caused a little bit of a problem, certainly at the start before now. But she seemed to be okay. Then all of a sudden she got spooked, and I could see there was going to be a problem, and Sammy Joe desperately tried to calm her down. But at a crucial moment, only about 10 yards from me, Sam, the horse reared right over backwards and came full back on top of Sammy Joe. And I thought, gracious me, you know. Well, there was a pause, and then they did both get up. The horse got up, and they seemed not particularly in good nick, I have to admit. Sammy Joe got to her feet and then fell back again. And I thought, yes, not good. She was then taken away in the ambulance to the Cumberland Infirmary, and we, of course, know that she's fractured her pelvis in a place and will be out for 4 or 6 weeks. But it was a nasty moment, and it just shows how dangerous the game is.
Absolutely, yeah. A real nasty one for Sammy Joe Bell. We wish her all the best going forward as well. But a couple of horses there from John to follow from the action from Carlisle on Friday. We're going to move ahead now to take a look at some of the racing on Monday. As I say, we haven't been given any races from Carlisle, but I'm sure you'll be able to point us in the direction of some winners at Leicester, Ayr and Windsor. Instead, John, we begin with the 4:30 at Leicester, a filly's condition stakes here, a Class 3 event over 7 furlong. 7 runners line up for it. I'm always intrigued by these condition stakes, John. They usually have one or two decent performers in them.
Well, this sort of condition stakes almost always dominated by one or two horses, with the result that a lot of the other horses who might conceivably have taken part decided at the last moment that perhaps they don't want to get too close to the stars, otherwise their handicap mark will be raised quite significantly. I thought there were two in this race who stood out, Sam. Spangled is the first one. Roger Varian's filly. Now, Spangled hasn't raced for 241 days, but the suggestion is that this doesn't really matter as far as Roger Varian is concerned. His horse is almost always fit after a long absence. And Andrea Azzini in the saddle, of course, and Andrea Azzini, to me, is riding magnificently well. I thought he was excellent at Goodwood in a couple of races I saw on Saturday. And he looks very much the finished article, Andrea. This horse, Spangled, when last seen, ran perfectly well in a similar listed race at Newmarket. It was won by one of John Gosden's youngsters called Solar Magic, and that one hasn't been out since. But it was a decent run, eventually finished seventh, but wasn't beaten far. I think it was six lengths. So Spangled's got a chance, and so has Thetis. Thetis is trained by Sir Michael Stout, who actually tends to have quite a fair running strike rate at Leicester. And I thought this horse ran well at York. She was third behind Memoralia, and had plenty to do on that occasion, and made a fair amount of progress in the closing stages. This is a lesser race, really, and fitness will be on the side of Thetis, compared perhaps to Spangled. Jimmy Quinn rides. I'd like Jimmy Quinn to get a good winner for Sir Michael Stout. He's got quite a long losing run to break, but I thought Thetis had a good chance, and she will be the choice.
Thetis it is then for John the Sir Michael Stout filly in that 4:30 event at Leicester. We go to Ayr now for the 4:45, a handicap here over a mile. 9 runners are down to contest this one. Who's on the mind here, Your Lordship?
Well, this is an excellent race, and there could be all kinds of possible winners here. Just nipping through some who might be involved, but I'm not going to select. Pinturas in the race. Good old number. Has been with Alistair Willans now, I think, for a couple of years. Was elsewhere before. I think just conceivably will need the race. Although, at Carlisle on Friday, two horses of Alistair Willans's ran well, and the Hoyt trainer has a very good record at Ayr. However, I pass over Pintura. I also pass over the top weight, Kevin Ryan's runner, Eric the Red. That might be unwise because Eric the Red's got perfectly sound form. Disappointment last time out was Michael Dodds's horse, Le Chat d'Or. He ran such a disappointing race when the stable's horses had been running well that makes me feel Le Chat d'Or could go pretty well in this particular contest. But the two I like are Treasury Notes, trained by the man with the magic wand, David O'Meara, as I continue to call him. Perhaps I should call him David O'Mara, and may come with habit in time. And Danny Tuthope in the saddle. And Treasury Notes was the winner at Ripon. He beat a horse called Swift Emperor, who did in fact lose when favourite last time out at the same venue. And I'm going to go for Jim Goldie, because I think Jovial Jim has his horses poised for a big run. And I was impressed with the way that Margaret's Mission ran in a very competitive race at Ascot last time out. Kieran Fallon was on board on that occasion. Graham Lee rides at Ayr on Monday, and the horse finished third to Light and Shade. It was a very competitive race, and if she repeats that run, I thought she'd win. So Margaret's Mission gets the nod at Ayr.
Margaret's Mission, then the one for John in the Air 445. We go over to Windsor now for a couple of races there, and we begin with their feature race of the evening. The 7:15 is the Leisure Stakes, a listed event over 6 furlongs here. 10 runners down to contest this one. And we've got a few runners here, John, who probably disappointed last time out. A couple dropping back into listed company, trying to regain the winning thread.
Very true, and you know, this is a decent prize, of course. Going down from the top, Dutch Masterpiece represents a really quite powerful combination at Windsor. Gary Moore and George Baker didn't seem to like Chester last time out. Was a fourth on that occasion and ran pretty well all round the track, so to speak, and didn't take the bends particularly well. However, Dutch Masterpiece has won his only appearance at Windsor, and he could go pretty well, I thought, Dutch Masterpiece. Then we have Baccarat, who's drawn 10. I tend to think that could be quite good. It'll give him the chance to run up the stands rails, Sam, and I quite like my horses in sprints to do that. It does depend a bit on the ground, admittedly. But Baccarat is now with Godolphin, Charles Appleby, and James Doyle in the saddle. Used, of course, to be owned by Sir Robert Ogden and was trained by Richard Fahey. So I know a bit about Baccarat, and he's been very consistent and was a good second to Don't Touch at Haydock last time. Has to be, you know, very, very much feared in this particular race. Poyle Vinny is another who's got just a little bit of a chance, but I didn't think he'd be quite good enough here. The Tin Man, a very, very decent sprinter last year. Tom Quealy in the saddle. He's had a decent two or three days, Tom Quealy. The Tin Man was fourth in the Champions Sprint on Champions Day, and he had some very good form last year, but absence quite a long way, might need this run. So I'm going to go for an old friend. That's a slight exaggeration, Sam, because he hasn't done me much good in the past, and this is Watchable. Now, the word from Wart Hill in David O'Meara's new quarters is that the horses are very much coming to peak, and that Watchable has, as usual, been showing excellent form on the home gallops. Well, I thought he showed fair form when running at Haydock. He was just behind Baccarat in that race, and they're very closely matched again. But there's one interesting little bit of change, and that is that Watchable is wearing, I think I'm right in saying, a visor for the first time. And when he rode Cheek Pieces for the first time, Watchable ran his best race for a long while. So I thought perhaps the application of a visor might make the difference. Watchable, then, will be my choice in a highly competitive race.
Watchable, the one then. Yeah, first time he's worn the visor in this country. Did wear it once at Longchamp when... well beaten, a 50-1 chance, but first time that he's worn it in a race where you'd expect him to have some sort of chance. So Watchable is the one. The final race then on today's podcast comes in the shape of the 7:45 at Windsor. This is a sprint, a 6 furlong sprint here where 11 runners go down to contest it. What do you like in the 7:45, John?
Well, the top one's got to have a big chance, Amir Lodge. George Baker has his horses in very good form at the moment, and Pat Cosgrave is in the saddle, and Pat's got a fine strike rate for the yard. And I thought Amir Lodge ran well at Ascot. He beat a horse, who I'm going to mention in a moment, owned by the Shropshire Wolves, commanded by John Babb, who will be in the studio for Monday afternoon. And that horse is called Flowers on Venus. That was just behind Muir Lodge at Ascot. And I suppose there's only £2 difference between the two. Now, technically, Muir Lodge ought to confirm the form. I thought Francisco had got a chance for the Richard Hannon team in this race as well. Likes to get out there in front and dominate. Tried to do that at Newbury last time out. Got mullered in the closing stages by Clear Spring, but that was a decent run by Francisco, and there's no reason reason why it shouldn't go well again. And then we do come to Flowers on Venus. And I must say, I do think this filly's got a definite chance. David Evans trains for the Shropshire Wolves. And David's got a very good record at Windsor so far this season. Overall, it's always useful, but his horses have been running particularly well at the Thameside track since they started again in the spring. Second to Muir Lodge at Ascot last time out. Flowers on Venus was actually down to run at Chester over the weekend, but was taken out because of the ground. They'd had a lot of rain there. Hopefully it'll be better ground at Windsor. And what interests me is that Andrea Atzini, who was in the saddle on the Shropshire Wolves, is representative at Ascot, retains the ride here at Windsor. So I do think that John Babb's horse, the Shropshire Wolves contestant, Flower on Venus, has got a fair chance and will be the choice.
Okay, thanks very much. There we are, thoughts of Lord John Budden ahead of the action on Monday. Just give us a quick recap, please, then, and your four picks for the action as it happens on Monday afternoon.
Yes, Sam. Well, on the 4:30 at Leicester, the first one, I'm going for Thetis, Sir Michael Stout and Jimmy Quinn. In the 4:45 at Ayr, the selection is Jim Gildy's horse, Margaret's Mission, with Graham Lee in the saddle. In the two decent races at Windsor, the 7:15 Watchable, wearing a visor for the first time in Britain, is the selection. And in the 7:45, we go for the Shropshire Wolves, Flower on Venus.
Thank you, John. And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Ross Briley guiding you through all of the action on Monday afternoon. Cheers for that, John, and best of luck on Monday.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.